Have you ever wondered if your bedroom is in the right spot? Have you ever wondered if the best place in your home for your bedroom might be the basement? I know it's not the most common option, but it does turn up. In some houses, it's simply the most obvious choice. If you think about it, it's not really any more weird than putting the bedrooms above the social spaces, something that happens in many houses built before and after the mid-century era of single-level homes. There might be more space to find without an addition. There might be more privacy from other adults living in the house, from teenagers, or just from the daily grind of life. There might be cooler temperatures, or separation from street noise, or problem light at night. In any case, today we're going to be talking about why you might build an owner suite, or even all of the bedrooms, into your basement, and what you would need to do design-wise to make that decision a smashing success. Hey there, welcome back to Mid-Mod Remodel. This is the show about updating MCM homes, helping you match a mid-century home to your modern life. I'm your host, Della Hansman, architect and mid-century ranch enthusiast. You're listening to episode 1308. My frame for this episode is a recent lovely master plan project. A young couple in New York State is taking over their grandparents' home, an architect-designed post-and-beam house that's been added onto several times over the years and is, by any normal measure, way too big for an, at the moment, childless couple. However, when the home belonged to her grandparents, it was the hub of a very populous and close local extended family. And part of their plan in keeping the house in the family is to keep that family gathering function. It's possible that one or more sets of aging parents or relatives may move in with them for some amount of time in the upcoming years as well. This is a kind of case-specific house, but I'm going to use it as a nexus to discuss a couple of unusual conditions, some of which may apply to you, even if the whole project doesn't. But don't zone out, even if you think, basement bedroom, Della, that's crazy, because this is going to be full of generally useful design advice for bedrooms and bathrooms. Basically, though, we're going to talk about whether it might be a good idea to think about putting your most elaborate bedroom and bathroom combination, your owner suite, into the basement of your home. We'll get into that, the circumstances under which it might be okay or even desirable. And we'll talk about what it means generally to create a new owner suite in a home from scratch. I'm going to have advice on how surprisingly easy it is to move plumbing around in a basement by jackhammering up a concrete floor. Yeah, it really is easier sometimes than building new bathrooms on main or upper floor spaces because you don't have to deal with what's happening below. And I'm going to give you a very important, a key heads up on putting bedrooms into the basement. So if this applies to you, if you have any thoughts about putting a legal bedroom into your basement at some point in the future where there has not been one before, I'm going to tell you something you must consider. Stay tuned. Before I get into all of that, though, my friend, I've got to tell you. You need to show up this weekend for the Mid-Century Design Clinic. This topic is technically owner's suite based, so we're going to be talking about how Mid-Mod Midwest has made some beautiful private retreat spaces for the owners of mid-century homes to get away, to luxuriously have a peaceful morning, to have enough storage space for all of their specialty stuff, to reconfigure their life before they go to bed, or sometimes even to shrink a too small space for themselves to really enjoy. But actually, this clinic is going to encompass everything I believe about mid-century bedroom and bathroom design. So if you have any thoughts about making an update to your bathrooms or bedrooms in your mid-century house, this clinic is for you. And I'm going to be honest, a well-done mid-century bathroom update is a work of art. It's personal, it's satisfying, it's beautiful. And a bathroom is also a room in your house that it's really easy to mess up. Some of it can feel very permanent. It's not that you can't replace bathroom tile once it's on, it's just that if you do, the beautiful ceramic or porcelain objects you've chosen for your bath will be scraped off and thrown directly in the trash. It's not salvageable, like an original mid-century toilet that might be able to find a new home if it's not right for you. So I don't want you to make wrong choices for your bathroom update. I'm going to help you avoid the bathroom to landfill cycle, and I would love to talk to you about everything bedroom and bathroom at this clinic this weekend. It's going to be so much fun. For those who've come to our clinics before, we're having this one on a Sunday, not a Saturday, so do sign up and save your spot on the list. We will be having this at August 6th at 2 p.m. Central live. It's about a two-hour clinic. I usually run a little long, but if you happen to be busy at that time, sign up anyway, because, of course, there will be a recording that will be available for about a week after the workshop so that you can rewatch it on your own time, watch it when you're available, share it with your spouse, review, take more notes, screenshot every slide. I don't know how obsessive you want to get with your bath update research, but it's all going to be there for you, a wonderful resource, and I want you to have it. You should sign up for this clinic, even if you don't happen to be available for the live on Sunday. If you're not going to show up live, email or DM me in advance with your personal questions about a bath update, because of course I'll be able to add them to our Q&A session at the end, or possibly just incorporate them right into the live material. So you won't miss out on your chance to have your questions answered live if you aren't there. Don't miss out on that. One of my favorite things to do at these design clinics is encourage people to think about the bigger picture of their home. And the people who show up for them, they're my favorite people. You are my favorite people. So I want to let you think about bathroom-specific, owner suite-specific spaces, but then I also want to encourage you, if you've had a good time, to enroll in Ready to Remodel. That will give you access to all the future design clinics that will ever happen, and all the ones we've done in the past, and the big picture supportive lesson framework of the master plan method for your entire home update over any timescale, plus access to my monthly office hours calls where I host answers and help work people through their problems in real time, plus access to the wonderful community of other mid-century homeowners. Being part of Ready to Remodel means you get access to this group of people who are all actively in the process of updating their mid-century homes. And wherever you are on your journey, just starting out, struggling to figure out the last final details, it can be so valuable to have access to that kind of support and encouragement. I have found over the years that the people who show up for these design clinics are some of my favorite future members of the Ready to Remodel program. And to encourage you to join us inside the bigger program, I always offer a discount, limited time only, for people who attend or even just sign up for the clinic. So sign up for the clinic. This is your biggest opportunity to save a chunk of change on joining Ready to Remodel. I usually discount the program by about a quarter. So I wanted you to know that. Are you excited about it? Great. If you're already signed up, I'll see you there. And if you're not, go sign up right now at midmod-midwest.com/clinic or at the link in the show notes. The show notes today are at midmod-midwest.com/1308, and you want to remember that number because you'll want to see the examples of this project I'm talking about today in sketch form. All right, let's talk about putting upper-level living into your basement and why you might want to do that. A quick overview of the situation we're talking about today. Like I said, this is a family home transferring owners. We had some things we really wanted to preserve, the general layout of the social gathering space, the kitchen, although ideally we wanted to make a little more room there for people to stand around and socialize. The exterior's in great shape. The color scheme never changed from its original mid-century appropriate, so it's got beautiful big windows facing the backyard, a pool already, and pleasant privacy at the street front. That's all good. The new owners aren't interested in attaching a garage. They actually like their walk from the separate garage to the house and find it to be pleasant. On the other hand, this house had been lived in by a tinkering engineer who loved to make his own changes, testing out alternative mechanical systems, building almost all of his own bedroom built-in storage furniture with enthusiasm but not necessarily high craft skill. And there was asbestos in many places in the lower level, which meant we had the freedom to change layouts while we were removing all of that. The house, in its original design, the main floor, had a kitchen, living room, entry, powder bath, and primary bedroom. On the lower floor, there was mechanical space for the pool and kids' bedrooms downstairs in a daylight walkout basement. At some point in the middle years of ownership, two additions were put on the house. On the kitchen side, there was a beautiful enclosed screen porch with more pool mechanical space below, and on the bedroom side, more kids' bedrooms were added below, and a sort of craft room office was added out beyond the owner's bedroom. Obviously, one response to making this house into the new home for the new owners would be just to claim the existing space, modify the existing owner suite on the main floor as the bedroom for this couple. It's bright, airy, flows out to a beautiful office, and comes with what is currently the largest, if somewhat oddly decorated, bathroom. And it's steps away from the social area and kitchen. But for these clients, we didn't even consider that option because they already had other plans. They had a lot of good reasons to lead them to want to move their bedroom to the basement area. Here are a few of them that might apply to you. For one, they weren't particularly in love with the idea of sleeping in their grandparents' bedroom. Also, they had a strong suspicion that either temporarily or permanently, other relatives might need that single floor living space, possibly parents or visiting aging relatives. They also plan to have kids of their own someday, and when they do, they don't want to be on a separate floor from all the kid bedroom spaces. Plus, it's a really nice basement, or at least it has the potential to be. When they took over the house, the basement had been finished with a bit of a 70s vibe, acoustic tile ceiling, slightly awkward layout, a floor of tile so famously slippery that kids regularly injured themselves while running down the stairs and across it out to the pool. Oh yeah, and the basement walks right out to the pool deck, so it's a pretty nice basement. You might have some or all of those reasons that apply to you in your home, wanting to be on the same floor as your kids, wanting to be near some good basement-accessed element, or wanting to keep main floor area as accessible for some other future potential member of the family or current member of the family. Or perhaps you have the opposite reasons. For parents whose kids are a little older, sometimes people are looking for more distance between their bedrooms and their kids. And one way to get it, unlike putting the kids into the basement, is to retreat down to the basement bedroom yourself. There's often more room to spread out and expand in the basement than there is in a bedroom area where to get bedroom space for yourself, you have to take it away from another bedroom. So it's often easier to add on or start fresh with a new owner suite layout in the basement. Even if you don't have a daylight basement or a walkout basement, you might think strongly about claiming some more of your basement space to make a more generous owner suite and to carve out a little parental privacy within an otherwise snug mid-century home. So if that's you, pay attention to this next bit. Our design brief was to make a new owner's bedroom and bath in the basement of this home. At the same time, we didn't want to invest too much money into updating the existing kids or guest bedroom spaces, but we didn't want to leave them without potential when we came time to make them nicer when kids or guests emerge on a regular basis. So as always, when we put together a master plan, we identify the most important areas to our clients and focus on creating at least three designs to offer them for those spaces. In this project, we came up with triplicate solutions for the kitchen, from small tweaks to big transformation, for the adjacent screen porch and a new deck that would connect it down to the pool in a really lovely social way, and triplicate solutions for adding a new amazing owner suite to the basement area. Let's talk about scheme one. The most obvious solution was to put a new bedroom, bathroom, and closet space into the large footprint of the 1970s addition at the end of the house. We couldn't really borrow more than that space because it was built against the cinder block former exterior house edge, dividing it from the inside spaces, but it was a large area in itself with pretty good window placement and size, so we had a lot of room to play around in that room, which had been a sort of a bunk-style room for multiple kids at one point in the past. We wanted to create two schemes in that area, and we wanted them, of course, to be quite distinct. So in the first scheme, we created a long linear bathroom tucked against the earth-sheltered back wall of the space. This gave us room for a generous combination tub shower, a tucked-away toilet, and a long double sink vanity with some in-bathroom storage screened from the bedroom by a pocket door that could be left open if they weren't worried about humidity or privacy. The rest of the bedroom footprint was a combination of sleeping area and distributed storage with built-ins framing around the entire room, wrapping over the headboard and along one side to create more sign privacy from the rest of the house, and a beautiful finished wood effect of lining the walls. We also created a long storage bench adjacent to the existing window and made sure to have a semi-private peek-through bookshelf, which added a little privacy to the room without totally cutting off daylight. Whenever possible, I love to align walking towards a room with a view of daylight, which is such an inviting way to get someone to want to walk down a long hallway. Check out the sketches and the floor plan for Scheme 1 on the show notes page if you're curious about this. Our second scheme took a totally different approach to the same rectangular footprint. In that case, we made a more compact, squared-off bathroom in the front outer corner of the room, with access to good windows, and we arranged a separate stand-up shower next to a toilet, a generous soaking tub in front of a window with a private view, and a slightly smaller vanity that stretched out into a little shelf over the tub for extra lotions and whatnot storage. You enter that bathroom by walking through an almost walk-in closet storage area with densely packed built-ins on one side and easy grab-and-go storage on the other that provides a clean finished wall as a focal point for the bed's view. In this case, the headboard of the bed was tucked against that back, earth-sheltered wall, but we thought about adding a little daylight on either side by excavating some of that retaining wall and putting in, not necessarily egress windows, but view windows at the high level of that room, which would improve the room's cross-vent, bringing in daylight from each time period of the day, and help further ensure that this bedroom does not feel like it was tucked into a basement. Okay, I want to take a time out from talking about the specific design to speak to anyone thinking about putting a guest bedroom, bonus bedroom, or your own personal owner suite into a basement that doesn't already come equipped with walkout, level access, or good daylight windows. Pay attention. You don't want to miss this message about basement windows. For any bedroom, you must have proper vent, light, and egress access. That means you need to have a little bit of fresh air, you need to have a little bit of daylight, and you need to be able to get out of the room in an emergency in at least two directions. One is usually through the bedroom door. Yes, bedrooms have doors. And the other is out of a window. Now, on a main floor bedroom, the rules about these windows are a little less stringent because it's relatively easy and safe to get out of the space and onto ground level from there. But in a basement, there are more specific outlines in order to ensure basic minimum safety. But for maximum flexibility, the rules end up being written in a way that's very hard to interpret and written in two separate spaces of the building code. The numbers you need to meet for egress safety are not written in the same spot as the numbers you need to hit for light and vent, and these two separately calculated areas can get you into trouble with the planning and building phases. So here's what you need to know. A bedroom of any size requires a minimal operable area of egress. You'll want to check these rules with your local building code, but basically it's just an open space enough for a human adult to wiggle themselves through. It needs to be measured from the fully open area of the window. So if it's a casement window that swings out, the amount of the window that might block that open area is taken away. You can usually get this data directly from the window manufacturer. Now, you'll also need to know about the overall area of the window in this egress requirement, but they're mostly going to be concerned with a minimum width and a minimum height, but also a minimum square footage. The minimum width and height don't add up to the minimum square footage, so you can have it be narrower but then taller or wider but then shorter. When you're placing your order, it's nice to speak to a human and simply tell them that this window, it needs to be egress acceptable, and they'll tell you that it is. So far, so good. To continue in the egress process, you also need that window to open out onto a certain clear ground area that's big enough for a person to stand in briefly before they climb to safety. It usually needs to be, 3 feet by 3 feet. Check me on that with your local code. Now, you can probably buy a pre-manufactured plastic or metal shell that will meet that requirement, but I always recommend building a custom retaining wall supported area that you can size to your own taste and make a little bit more aesthetically pleasing than that minimum requirement. It'll end up being a pleasant thing to look out of, and a well-done retaining wall egress window gives you something beautiful to look at and an open shot at the sky, which can sometimes prove more private and pleasing than windows on the main floor right above it. That's true in my house. My bedroom windows looks directly into the kitchen window of my neighbor's house, and I keep a curtain across it at all times. But the basement bedroom, which is located directly below my own, has a lovely egress window retaining wall view and basically looks up at sky above my neighbor's roof. It's great, and it feels private without the curtains drawn. So that's the part everybody usually gets right. The other factor, though, is egress, right? Light and vent. And the light and vent requirements are not specific minimum dimensions. They are a percentage. You need to have 8% of the room's available area as view. That's glass in a window or glass in a door if you have a walkout basement. And 4% or sometimes 3.5% of the room area as operable for fresh air ventilation. This is the part that people forget. And for some reason, it's what planning counter officials often forget to remind people. You know who doesn't forget, though? The framing inspector, who shows up to tell you that you are or are not ready to go ahead with your plumbing, electrical, and insulation process in your basement. So here's how it goes wrong. You go ahead and meet the minimum requirements for egress. That gives you a window that has those basic dimensions. If you reverse the math on that, it works out to quite a snug square footage of bedroom. But what if you had a bigger bedroom you were planning for? We just talked about how you have room for a more generous bedroom in a basement than in upstairs parts of the house. Or what if you wanted to have a combination bedroom and den and use both of them as a bedroom legally with an egress window? Well, the bigger that room is, the less likely you are to organically hit that minimum percentage requirement of light and vent. You may already have hired a crew to excavate outside the space, cut a hole in the concrete wall, install a window, and frame in the bedroom when the inspector comes and tells you you're in violation of code and you can't proceed. At that point, usually the easiest thing you can do, while very sad, is to just make the bedroom smaller rather than uninstall, hire those folks back, and create a bigger egress window. This often requires people to put in extra closets where they didn't need them, or sometimes just frame in dead space against a wall that can't be used because that's how they meet the light and vent percentage code. So please remember to calculate a window big enough to meet your light and vent proportion to the actual basement square footage. This is crucial. And it's not even bad news. It's an excuse to do the thing you might otherwise talk yourself out of. Put in generous light access, more than one window perhaps. Perhaps windows on two sides of the room or two in parallel that share the same retaining wall protected outside area. This is the best way to make a basement feel like a beautiful first-class main floor area. Make sure it has finishes that match the level of the rest of the house and lots of daylight. Okay, back to our example project. The third place we wanted to try an owner suite on the basement floor was a really fun one. In fact, it was something that the owners suggested to us in a negative way. They said that they'd wondered about it, but they thought it wouldn't work because of this, this, and this. I didn't see it the same way. And spoiler alert, Scheme 3 is the solution they ultimately end up choosing joyfully. The arrangement of this basement was that you would come down a set of open stairs from the entry area and then have options. You could turn left down the long hallway towards the existing bedrooms, turn right, duck through a door into the mechanical and pool maintenance spaces, or walk forward around a big masonry core hearth underneath the one upstairs for the vaulted ceiling living room above. There was sort of a family play space mirrored underneath the main living room on the basement level. But it wasn't a great space. It was a little too large for its height. And this is, by the way, another common basement design mistake, something to watch out for in all basement designs, since you may be dealing with a slightly lower than 8-foot ceiling, certainly no more than 8-foot. Too much open space ends up feeling a little pancaked. You don't want to divide a basement into a monk's cell system of tiny rooms, but you also don't want it to be too big in any direction because it will always end up feeling disproportionately short. This family room felt short. It also had a very slippery floor tile. Not that this couldn't have been fixed in a remodel, but the new owner's primary memory from childhood was running down the slightly dangerous open stairs and across the very slick floor, falling down on their way to the pool area. It was originally the only way to get to the pool from the main part of the house, but nothing ever really happened in that room. It was a place where you could play wild games or make a big mess of toys, but it didn't have furniture and it didn't have a particular use. It just walked out to the pool. I decided to see if we could do better. For one thing, a major design move I wanted to make upstairs was to create a deck opening off the existing screen porch next to the kitchen with a generous staircase that would bring guests and family members straight down from the kitchen and screened area to the pool, because the most common big family social party configuration was that people would be in the pool and in the kitchen, and having them run through the living room, down the entry stairs, and across this slip and slide lower den area just felt illogical to me. It made more sense to have all of those family social areas flow together in one smooth sequence that shared the same line of sight. Once we'd done that, we didn't need to preserve the stairs as a pool pathway on the inside of the house. And since family occasions are only part of what this house is used for now, why not give that daily, immediate pool access to the people who own and live in the house? So, we set up a new owner suite in that den. We created a fun headboard out of a slat wall to bring in daylight from the pool view area but have visual privacy. The bed got to face the big stone hearth, which gave it a purpose. A private hearth for the bedroom, which was different, not just a second, less good version of a hearth in a den versus a hearth in the living room above. We had more space to spread out our walk-by closet, more room to line the space with built-in storage, and more room for a bathroom, and all of the spaces got better access to daylight. By reconfiguring the doors around the existing hearth, we even straightened out a kink in the hallway towards the existing bedrooms to the left, a problem that had bugged the new owner since her childhood. Check out the perspective sketches in the floor plan with annotations on the show notes page. In each of these three bedroom schemes, we were going to need to do some work in the existing concrete basement floor slab to place new plumbing. But our most grandiose scheme, Scheme 3, actually would be the easiest because it wasn't separated from any original plumbing lines by that concrete wall of the original house edge. We wouldn't have to remove the existing kids' bathtub in order to trench in a new line. Now, it might seem weird, perhaps you don't want to believe it, but it's actually relatively easy to jackhammer up a concrete floor, place new plumbing, and pour new slab back over them. And you don't have to worry about how the plumbing drops you place will affect the ceiling of any area below, as you might with main floor areas that need to be refinished. Putting in a new basement bathroom or relocating plumbing in an existing bathroomed space is work that can pair nicely with other necessary things like trenching in a perimeter floor drain and some pump and a sump pump for basements that have been wet in the past, or dealing with any necessary radon remediation. Sometimes it can end up feeling like a two-for-one. Of course, as with all modifications to the house, the closer you put new plumbing to any existing plumbing drops or other plumbed areas, the easier and less expensive it will be. Another thing we were able to suggest to these owners as they work with their budget and what they want to take on right away versus as they live in the house is that they can occupy a bedroom area, their new owner's bedroom footprint, simply with furnishings. And then maybe go ahead and frame in the new walls, add the built-in closet, but stop before taking on the work of plumbing a new owner's suite bathroom. Because they could, as a phase one project, update the existing downstairs bathroom and then live in that. It's what they think of as their future kids' bathroom, but at the moment they don't have kids, so they don't need to share it. Many people choose to upgrade a bathroom right now, live with it for a while, and then expand to a glorious owner's bathroom a little later in their homeownership journey. One way or another, knowing where you want to put everything as part of your future master plan lets you confidently know what parts of the house you can finish, by which I mean putting on final finished materials in a way that can be left alone, and what areas might need to be left slightly more undone, or you might need to make a deal with yourself that you can do it and then undo it to tackle a future phase of design improvement. To recap, there are a lot of reasons you might think about shifting your bedroom, or a teenager, or a guest bedroom, for long-term or short-term stay, to the basement. Basements are cool, private, separated from main social areas of the house, and often have more space to play with than upstairs bedroom areas. Before you think about adding on to your house, if you've got a basement, think about how you might make best use of that space down there. And when you're thinking about making living space, particularly legal bedroom quality living space in your basement, don't forget to add in the important elements of daylight, ventilation, and legal egress. This is a space where you want to be Santa. Make a list and check it twice. Take it down to the permit office and ask them a lot of questions about your plans to make sure you're doing it right before someone comes to the site in the middle of your construction process and tells you you've done it wrong. So if you've got a basement, I want you to think about how you can make better use of it, bedroom or no bedroom. This is the secret weapon of any mid-century house not built on a slab or crawl space. If you're using your basement for storage, sure, that's great. If you've got a half-finished den or laundry space down there, that can also be helpful, but give some thought to what you can do. I'd love to help you brainstorm what you can do to make the most of your basement. And even more relevantly right now, what you could do to improve your bedroom or bathroom in a basement and how they fit together into, potentially, a beautiful guest or owner suite. So, as you know, there are always several ways that Mid-Mod Midwest can help you. We can do your design thinking for you within the scope of our Mid-Century Master Plan package. Check that out at our Work With Us page. Or we can help you walk through the steps of master plan thinking on your own with lots of support and an active community of fellow Mid-Mod remodelers around you inside the Ready to Remodel program. And if you want a taste of either of those types of service, just show up this weekend for the Mid-Century Owner Suite Clinic, where I'll be taking you through everything you need to know to plan a great update for your bedrooms and bathrooms. Get all the info about the clinic and this episode at midmod-midwest.com/1308. Will we see you there? I sure hope so. I'm looking forward to it, and I would love to help you and your mid-century home to live your best lives. Let's get into it this weekend. If you're already signed up, I'm already looking forward to sharing all my best mid-century bath and bed design tricks with you on Sunday.